access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
They recognized the fact that they could not do it all and they needed assistance in the work. There are some today who feel that way. I remember years ago, my pastor said that there was an older couple who had come to his church, the church, and he was young in the Lord, and he was the pastor, and the couple took him out for lunch or dinner, and you know, was saying, you know, I noticed that you, Pastor Phil, do a lot of the work around the church. You shouldn't be doing that. Someone else should be doing that. And he kind of thought, well, I'm the pastor. Maybe that's true. I don't know. So he, at that time, you can call Pastor Chuck Smith up, and you know, he talked with him, and Pastor Chuck said, you know, Phil, I'm looking out the window right now and I see some garbage in the parking lot. As soon as I'm done talking with you, I'm going out there to clean it up. That's all Pastor Phil needed to hear. Yeah, I mean, work needs to get done, but you can't do everything. You have to be realistic about that. And here, they said, you know, pick 7 men for the ministry to do this work. What happens a lot of times today is, oh, we have a need. You have to fill it. That's not how it works. You just don't put people into a ministry because you have a need. Not at all. Notice what's going on here. These men had to have a good reputation in the community. They were not men who were evil or dishonest. They had a good reputation amongst the people. That's important. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it's important. They were also to be full of the Holy Spirit. Of course, they needed to be saved. Yeah, that makes sense. But also men who were empowered by the Spirit of God and full of wisdom. Yeah, they needed biblical knowledge, but they also needed the wisdom of God to apply those things correctly in their lives. You know, I like 1 Chronicles 12:32. From the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the temper of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. They understood it. That's important, understanding what to do. And you guys know me at all. I just don't put someone in ministry because there's a need. I mean, years ago, there was a need for youth ministry, and there was no one to do it at that time. That was back at the old building we were in, and the kids wanted to get together. And I wasn't going to tell them no. So I oversaw the ministry until God raised someone else who could oversee it. And it took a few years before that happened. And it's much easier, or it's actually much harder to remove someone from ministry if there are problems. It's much easier not to put them in at all. Just wait, pray. I had someone who wanted to be in ministry, wanted to oversee the Sunday school program. Again, this was at the old building. And well, he didn't always show up for church, but he wanted to be part of the Sunday school ministry to oversee it. I said, well, you know, if you want to oversee a ministry, you really have to come to church. And he thought I was legalistic. I'm like, no, it's part of your ministry, right? You're overseeing this. You should be here. And I was very thankful I did not put him in the ministry because that would have just been painful for me. Also, in Acts 6:3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men, good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I like this. They got the Hellenist Christians who are feeling neglected, and they said, you guys pick 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and have the wisdom to oversee this work. You guys do it. That's great. You guys are responsible. Why didn't the apostles oversee this ministry? It's easy. It's not desirable that we should leave the work of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer and then the word of God. You see, you can't preach on what you don't know, and God will show you as you pray and meditate upon him and his word. That is my priority here at the church, to pray and minister the word of God to you. Do I do other things? Yeah, I do a lot of other things. We're a small church, and even if we were a large church, I probably would still do a lot of things because that's just what I do. But my first priority is prayer and the study of God's word so I can share with you. I remember someone who said, you know, yeah, I get up on a Sunday and whatever the Lord gives me, that's what I give to the people. I'm thinking, those poor people, you haven't put any time in? You didn't study? That's not a good thing. I'm actually very blessed here because I look at all the people who are in various ministries helping in the work. The radio ministry. Are there things within the radio ministry that I can do? Yeah, but God has raised up people to do the work. I don't have to. If I did, I would be hindering what God is trying to do in their lives. God has raised up a lot of people like Max and Mickey, Conrad, Milton, and others doing the work of the radio station. And I think they're blessed that they can serve God in that role. And that's how it's to work. I can't do everything. You know, it's so wonderful with, you know, when Pat Smith, you know, she was sick for like 2 years, and just seeing the various people within the church who went to visit her and minister to her. I couldn't be there a lot, but you guys were. That was an awesome thing, seeing how just the body of Christ was working. Now, if something got in the way of me teaching, praying, ministering, in the long run, if that was something that happened, the other stuff would have to go away. Because that my priority is to pray and teach you the word. Has that ever happened? It hasn't. That's kind of the amazing thing. Even when I was working full-time outside the church, down in Sheboygan at St. Nicholas Hospital, God provided me the time, I don't know how, because now that I'm not working outside the church, I'm busy all day. And yet, back then, he allowed me to get all the studies done that I needed to. That's really important, teaching God's word today. We've kind of put that aside, and it doesn't seem to be as important anymore, but it is. You know, Paul, when he was giving his farewell address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus in Acts 20, he said, "And when they had come to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Bringing the word of God forth in people's lives. Healthy doctrine is being replaced by skits and jokes and stories today. But that doesn't help us to grow, does it? The Word of God is what's living and powerful. And look at today. And I'm not just picking on mega churches. You know, we have numerous large churches of over 20,000 members. Why do we see so much social immorality going on in our nation today if churches are so big? Do you ever think about that? It shouldn't happen. And again, I'm not just picking on large churches. We're all responsible. But look at values like abortion, same-sex marriage, or threats to religious liberty. How? I mean, some have said there's 45 million Christians in America, not including Roman Catholic or Orthodox or Episcopal or even mainline Protestant churches. And yet, look at what's going on today. I don't get it. Why? Why is this happening? Because people don't know the Word of God. They mock the Word of God. Oh, it's boring. You don't know what you're reading. Now, before I got saved, it was boring. After I got saved, man, can't get enough of it. And I'm not really here to make you happy. I'm really here to show you how to be holy. That's what God desires in your life. Sometimes it's not easy, is it? You know, you hear a message, it's like, man, God gets you right in the heart. It's like, did you call him and tell him about me? No, no one calls me and tells me about what's going on in your life. But that's a big thing. Preaching is meant to make us holy, not necessarily happy. The church is not around to fill church seats. We're here to make disciples. The church is afraid to offend man, but they're not afraid to offend God. Think about that. Well, you know, we're not going to teach on prophecy or the book of Revelation or Daniel, because people don't really like that and, it's too controversial. So what you're basically saying is, you know what, God, you blew it on that one. You should have never included the book of Daniel or Revelation in the scriptures. Why? Because you're offending people. Well, maybe those people need to be offended. I don't know. But now you're offending God because you're telling him you know better than him. The worship of God is to worship him, right? Not to entertain our flesh. It's not to pump us up. Think about it. Think about some of the worship that goes on. I'm not saying you can't go to a Christian concert. That's different than worship. What I'm talking about is what we do here before our services on Thursday evenings and Sunday mornings is worship the Creator of heaven and earth. Why? Because when we come in here, who knows what went on at work or what went on at home or what went on in the grocery store, wherever, all the stuff we're bringing in here or at the doctor's office or whatever. And it's just our minds are filled and ready to explode. And all of a sudden, we start worshiping God and our hearts and minds are focused upon him. And we are ready then to receive what he has for each of us. I can tell you, we could pump you up. We can get the lights going, the smoke going. We can get all that stuff going. And when you leave here, you will leave the same way you came, unchanged. But if the word of God is given to you as your heart is open to what God has for you, you will leave here a changed person because God is doing a work. That's why it is so important for me to pray and to study and prepare to share with you what God has shown me. This Sunday we start the book of James. I am regretting that decision. The book of James is a tough book because it all deals with application. At least Paul had chapters that dealt with doctrine. Okay, this is just doctrine. Now, this is how you're to live. Watch your tongue. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Oh, come on, James, you're killing me here. Isn't that a good thing, though? God wants us to examine our lives so that we can grow. And it's not easy. There are a lot of people, it's kind of funny. Again, years ago with the other building, I'd had a couple people come up to me and go, man, I want to be a pastor. I want to teach here. And I'd be like, well, who are you? I don't even know who the people were. Being a pastor is a calling in your life. It's not something you just pick to do. It's not like I got up one day and said, I think I'm going to be a pastor. There's no way. No way. God put the calling on my life. A young man had spoke to Donald Gray Barnhouse, a great Bible teacher, and he said, I'd give the world to be able to teach the Bible like you. And Dr. Barnhouse looked him straight in the eye, and he said, good, because that's exactly what it's going to cost you. You're going to have to give up everything. The ministry needs to be a priority in my life, and that ministry is teaching the Word of God. What did Jesus say to Peter? Feed my sheep. He said, in fact, twice. Tend my sheep once, feed my sheep twice. It was important. And so here, they were waiting upon God in prayer and the ministry of the word. Look at verse 5 here in Acts 6. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. All I can say is praise God that Stephen and Philip are the main characters for the next couple chapters, because not these other guys, I can't say their names, right? Notice that they didn't pick four Hebrew Jews and three Hellenistic Jews, or four Hellenistic Jews and three Hebrew Jews. These were all Hellenistic Jews. They all had Greek names. I like this. You know what happened here? They didn't allow Satan's schemes to work to divide the church there. And again, over the years, I've seen Satan's schemes cause all kinds of trouble. We need to be open to God's Spirit, to be sensitive to the needs of others, and see what love will do. And this was not done by popular opinion. The apostles agreed. They were confirming this was of God. This is what needs to happen. They prayed over these men. They laid hands on them. These men were appointed for the work. And like I said, Stephen and Philip are going to be used mightily by God. But understand, they all seven of them were waiting on tables. And Stephen and Philip didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to use this as a stepping stone. I want something big because I want to be somebody. No, he was just faithful and waiting on tables. And God opened the doors. You know, it's interesting. Of the apostles, think about it. We don't know a whole lot about the apostles, do we? But here are two men, not apostles, Philip and Stephen, and yet a whole chapter is given to each of them. Isn't that interesting? God uses faithful people for all kinds of things. And people here struggle with this. They don't like the lower positions. And I hate to use that word, lower positions, but that's kind of the way some people look at things. I don't want to clean the church. I don't want to be an usher. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I want to be up front. You know what? If that's your attitude, you don't belong anywhere. Because I guarantee you that someone is going to say something that's going to offend you. Someone's going to do something that's going to drive you crazy. And you're going to go, that's it. I can't take it anymore. Get used to it. That's just ministry, man. And if your heart's not ready for it, don't get involved. You know, for me, I look for people for ministry that are just serving. They're just serving. I don't even tell them anything. They're out there, they see garbage in the parking lot, they pick it up. They see garbage in the church, they pick it up. They just start serving. I don't have to tell them to do anything. They don't have to have a title, you know, man who picks up garbage out in the parking lot title. You know, you don't need a title. You just serve. That really is what it's all about. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Wow. And I like Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. You know, yeah. Just because it's a small beginning, rejoice. Hey, God is using me. Think about it. The creator of heaven and earth is going to use me for something. And it may not be, you know, even in the workplace outside the church. That's a ministry that God has you in. I can tell you, some of my, you know, fondest memories as a young Christian was back in Illinois setting up chairs for the church. Every Sunday, Thursday back then we did it. Every Thursday, setting up chairs, taking them down. In this one building that we rented, we had to crawl up and climb up into the attic and hand chairs down. It was one of the most wonderful times of fellowship ever. It was awesome. You make ministry whatever you want it to be. You could have joy doing it. Or you could be, you know, like Eeyore. Everything's bad, you know, it's just bad. No, it's not. It's great to serve the Lord. In verse 7, it says, you know, the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, here's the wonderful thing. The church grew. Why? Because the apostles were free to teach the word of God. The church grew because of the unity in the church. They saw beyond themselves and towards a greater calling of God, and it touched the lives of others around them. They were a witness. Also, priests were obedient to the faith. Priests in Jerusalem, I wonder who those were. I don't know. I kind of have the idea that maybe some of them were in the temple when the Lord gave up his spirit the day he was crucified, right? And what happened? When Jesus gave up his spirit, we're told the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. You know, this veil in the temple was some 60 feet wide, 30 feet high, between 10 and 18 inches thick. They said it took 100 priests just to hang it. I don't know what some of those guys were thinking in there, because that was the time of the evening sacrifice. So the priests were there. You know how it is when you tear a shirt, the sound it makes? Imagine what this sounded like from top to bottom. And some of these priests, maybe were there, are now getting saved. You know, one of the issues that, you know, we've seen lately is Satan loves to attack. There's no doubt about it. And I think many times we're just not prepared for what he's going to throw at us. And we're taken in by these things. One writer said, when Satan does not succeed in stopping the church with a frontal assault, he attacks from within. This usually happens subtly. An invitation not sent, a job unnoticed, a critical comment overheard, jealousy over something that really does not matter, like the size of a ham slice. When the murmuring begins, the devil smiles. Ken Taylor, in his Romans for the Family Hour, relates the following story. And I found this really interesting. Listen to what he said. One hot day, a family traveling down the highway between Johnstown and Jamestown stopped at Farmer Jones' place to ask for a drink of water, which he gladly gave them. Where are you headed? He asked them. We're moving from Johnstown to Jamestown to live, they told him. Can you tell us what the people there are like? Well, what kind of people did you find where you lived before? Farmer Jones asked. Oh, they were the very worst kind, the people said. They were gossipy and unkind and indifferent. We're glad to move away. Well, you know, I'm afraid you'll find the same in Jamestown, Farmer replied. Well, the next day another car stopped and the same conversation took place. These people were moving to Jamestown too. But what kind of neighbors will we find there? They asked. Well, said Farmer Jones, what kind of neighbors did you have where you lived before? Oh, they were the very best. They were so kind and considerate that it almost broke our hearts to have to move away. Well, you'll find exactly the same kind again, Farmer Jones replied. You see, when believers are unhappy and begin to murmur, the first place to look for their problem is their own hearts. Christians who are unhappy at their last church or town or job are unhappy where they are now. And if they feel they've just cause for criticism, well, they should express it to the right people in the appropriate way. They have to avoid murmuring or gossiping and have to be willing to be part of the solution. How true that is. You know, I don't think we're as wise as serpents. We need to be in the days we're living in. What's our goal? What are we seeking to do? Do you ever think about that? Isn't our goal to build up the body of believers and to bring the lost to saving faith in Jesus? Isn't that our whole mission? It is really not to change our political system. I know that'll offend some people. But I never saw Paul say, you know, we need a new Caesar because this one's bad. This one doesn't deliver pizza. We want one that does. I don't know, whatever the case may be. But you never see Paul doing that, do you? What was Paul's main mission? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our mission, guys? It is easy to get distracted and go down rabbit trails, but the cause is Christ. This message going forward. When disunity comes, what happens? It's all about us and not the message. It's not about Jesus anymore. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He's just serving the Lord faithfully, waiting on tables, dispensing food and other things for the widows. And God's working through Stephen. God's moving. God's working. The people are stirred, some to the faith, well, and some against the faith, as we're going to see. And understand, when God is working, there's always the opposition trying to stop the work of God. And that's important to remember. Right after 9/11, and I've told you this before, someone had called me, and I don't even know who this person was, and asked if I could, they were going to have a prayer meeting and sharing at Washington Park. And they asked if I would share. And I was like, sure, I'll share. And I went up there and I shared from Jeremiah, I know the thoughts I think towards you, towards the Lord, and trying to give people hope in the Lord that He's in control, because everyone was devastated. Kids were crying. I don't even know if they knew why they were crying, but they knew their parents were so upset that they were upset too. And so I got done, you know, and I prayed and, you know, just gave them hope in Jesus. And a lady came up to me, screaming at me,
Who gives you the right to tell me about Jesus? I didn't come here for that. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. That's all I have for you. It's only about him. He's the only one that gives you peace and hope. You know, when you see a pack of dogs and you throw a rock and you hit one, you know which one you hit by the noise it makes. And I must have touched a nerve in this person, trying to stop me from going forward. After she left, there were moms coming up holding their children saying, could you pray for us? It was amazing what God was doing that night. Don't let Satan stop you.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.